Hey, everybody. Kevin Grossman, president of Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards. Wanted to let you all know there's plenty of time to participate in the 2021 Candy Benchmark Research Program. And while there's no deadline to start participating in our Benchmark Research Program this year, there is a deadline to finish, and that's August 31st. We've also got so many great events coming up, virtual conferences, workshops, webinars, lots of recruiting, hiring, and candidate experience resources on our website as well at thetalentboard.org. I hope you enjoy the podcast.
People are the most important asset that a company has. People make products, people sell products, people market products, people make sure customers are being successful. People also happen to be your most expensive asset. And so like any other thing, you want to say, how do I optimize this most crucial, critical resource for my success?
You're listening to the Candy Shop Talk podcast, brought to you by Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards Benchmark Research, and hosted by Kevin W. Grossman. Talent Board is the first nonprofit research organization focused on elevating and promoting a quality candidate experience. The Candy Shop Talk podcast welcomes Anoop Gupta, co-founder and CEO at SeekOut, an AI-powered talent search engine that enables talent acquisition teams to understand any talent pool and quickly find the talent they need, with a focus on diversity, technical expertise, and other hard-to-find skill sets, and a proud Candy sponsor. Listen in on how improving candidate experience impacts recruiting and the business bottom line. Anoop, thank you so much for joining me on the Candy Shop Talk podcast. Before we dive into the rest of the show, why don't you tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do today?
Thanks, Kevin. Firstly, delighted to be on this podcast. I am a geek and an entrepreneur. My background is, you know, I was a professor at Stanford, sold my first startup to Microsoft in 97, 18 years there, reported to Bill Gates, ran Skype and Exchange, and then quit again for my second startup and, you know, extremely excited, focusing on talent.
And by the way, geek is a highly technical term. So we're all covered on that for sure. So obviously the big news of late has been this great Series B funding that you received. It was the $65 million, correct?
Yes.
So let's go back. Tell us a little bit more about the SeekOut story, about the vision, and then this amazing growth that you've seen since Series A, despite the COVID-19 impact, which has impacted a lot of industries in various ways, not so much tech, which is a good thing, even in our space in particular. But so tell us that story first and about the funding.
At SeekOut, we started actually as a messaging company, and we had a hard time bootstrapping, and we pivoted in, you know, 2017 late to talent because what we had built was resonating a lot with recruiters. And since then, we have just focused on what is something unique that we can bring to the talent space that will serve the needs of the customers. So the first thing was we focused on, you know, with the digital transformation, deeply tech, you know, candidates. That are not often on LinkedIn. So we focused on GitHub, and we focused on people who have papers and patents, and we focused on, you know, building unified profiles. People couldn't find them anywhere else. A second very big focus for us, and that was from the very beginning, has been around diversity, helping companies find diverse candidates. That was the second focus, but, you know, over time it has expanded a lot because the third thing we did was around analytics on diversity and everything else. So what it leads to is, how do you set diversity targets? They're based on analytics. How do you negotiate with the hiring manager diversity-friendly job descriptions? And that required them. Then how do you source? How do you reduce unconscious bias? So we've always been around this collection of things and then engaging with candidates and tools to do that. So super excited about all of that. So as to the funding, when we pivoted, you know, and we said, oh, what are we going to do? So the first year was a very good, you know, to a concrete milestone where we raised a Series A. The first year past Series A, we grew 4x. Then second year, you know, during COVID, we grew 2.5x. So we've grown 10x over the last, you know, just 21 months. The other thing that's been quite unique is we have done so profitably, and that represents a very strong product market fit that is there. And so we are basically, customers are saying, we love what you do for us. We are loving the value you're adding. And that's what led to the $65 million, you know, raise. And another interesting story there, we could do the fundraise on our very first investment call. I was hoping, wow, I'm going to have to meet a lot of VCs. I'm going to have to do a lot of selling, spend a lot of time. And we just got an amazing offer during a very first call. So super excited about that.
That's awesome. You know, when you look back, I mean, even pre-COVID, it's exciting because I've been in the HR recruiting technology space, God, for over 21 years now. It feels, wow, it's a long time. However, it's the past few years, though, there's been a lot of investment that's been going into recruiting and hiring technology in particular. And that's exciting because I think there are some amazing things today with the technologies that are available to us, machine learning and natural language processing, and the list goes on, what we call AI-related technologies that is really helping to improve recruiting and hiring. And then what we saw, and I'm sure hopefully you would concur with this, last year in 2020, companies with the impact of COVID, and not only that, but social unrest globally around the world. I mean, there was so much upheaval going on, and there were industries that fared much better than others. Technology we just referenced, but finance and insurance, these are some things that at least we see in the Candy community. Some services sectors, even some consumer goods sectors. And obviously hospitality, unfortunately, not so great, as well as travel and leisure. But my point is, this was not like the same kind of impact that we saw with the Great Recession. There's this mix, and there was still recruiting and hiring going on, and it's exciting. But companies got leaner, though, with their teams, their recruiting teams, and leaning more on technologies like yours, which is, and it's more pervasive throughout the recruiting process. So that diatribe aside, what I was leading into was, what are some of the specific, you kind of referenced it a little bit when you were talking about Seek Out, but the Talent 360 platform, which is your platform, what are some of those really key challenges then that you're helping with, especially what came out of 2020? I know diversity is a big checkbox now. But what else? Talk about some of those.
So the way I am articulating a vision, and this vision is, people are the most important asset that a company has. People make products, people sell products, people market products, people make sure customers are being successful. People also happen to be your most expensive asset. And so, like any other thing, you want to say, how do I optimize this most crucial, critical resource for my success? And once you start looking at it that way, Kevin, okay, then you say, who do I have? Who can I hire? What is the richest information? And if I'm hiring, what is the best candidate experience? You know, all of that starts with knowing your people, knowing the people you are trying to hire, because the best way to be respectful to a candidate is saying, I understand you. I have looked at what you've done. I'm reaching out, you know, with the agency. This is not about spray and pray methodology, which leads to terrible candidate experience, you know, something that is critically important to your community. And we believe that comes from knowing. And so, you know, we construct these unified profiles. People love the rich profiles. People love the analytics and how they find them. If you know how you find them, you can reach out, you know, with more sincerity on why it is appropriate. So people are loving those aspects. Talent for digital transformation, diversity, analytics to become better at it, you know, and all of this for internal and external candidates.
And you just touched on an important point, right? Because we always tend to talk about recruiting through the lens of external recruiting. And that's important. That's a big part of it. But again, before we even started the podcast today, we were talking about how companies over the years have not fared very well and even understanding who they already have, not even the hires and their employees, which based on internal mobility and internal experience is just as important because you're having to constantly re-recruit to retain, right?
No, totally. You know, Satya Nadella, when he took over as CEO of Microsoft, I was there. He said, you know, there's this culture that managers own the to their team members, he said, no, it's the company. If you're not doing a good job, if we are not helping them grow, somebody else will take them away. And that's a loss for the company. So then it becomes, how do you understand the people you already have? And turns out companies don't understand the people they already have. Once they hired them, you know, all their resume, et cetera, gets thrown away, archived somewhere else. And so if you want to learn who they are, combine them with the internal data that you might have in your systems, becomes a very powerful way to understand internal people, compare them to what's happening in the external marketplace. Are they high demand? Is somebody wanting to take them away? And then take the right actions.
I think those, and I'm sure you've got some customers that have connected the dots in that regard, but I think TA doesn't always have purview into what happens beyond onboarding. That becomes the manager's responsibility in HR and talent management, depending on the size and complexity of their organization. But I would argue that there needs to be a lot more of the TA function built in to retention. What do you think about that? Yeah.
No, absolutely. Retention is a very, you know, the cost of losing a good employee is a lot. Not only you spend in re-recruiting another alternative, but all of the experience and the culture and everything else they knew gets lost.
Exactly. And one thing I like to bring up, and this is in no way to, I'm not jousting at technology, but I think what's really important to note is that candidates at the end of the day, both internal and external for that matter, unless they're actually in the HR recruiting technology space, they don't care what a company's tech stack is, right? They don't care how many systems are involved. All they care about is getting the job. And we know, you run the numbers, most individuals for any given job aren't going to get hired. That's the reality. So, but what does matter though still is that any interaction and experience that is driven by both the technologies and the humans at the end of the day, right? So how else then, I mean, does your system impact and how do you differentiate both on the candidate experience side as well as the recruiter side?
So I think where we often mess up that experience is when you take the spray and pray approach.
Yes.
You say, let me find just Java developers and send all of them a message and see who responds. And some get that, you know, message and say they don't realize I'm three levels beyond or three levels younger or whatever else. And you're starting a bad candidate experience without even actually further interaction with them. They say this company doesn't understand. So, you know, as Lou Adler, who you might know, says, is how do you narrow it down to a small number of people? How do you know this is going to be a growth opportunity for them? And all of that depends on understanding people richly. Understanding more deeply, then it is not a volume game, it's a quality game, and it's a quality interaction game. And I think you can improve candidate experience.
Agreed. I think that even whether it's very hard to find roles, individuals, all the way to more repetitive hiring that larger organizations are going to be engaged in, you know, depending on industry, but to some degree, that you still have control over communications, candidate communications. Yes. Always key, and the timeliness of those communications.
Yes.
At the end of the day, right? And yes. And systems like SeekOut and others in their ecosystems can help empower them to do that. But it's, where do you think, I'm just curious, and where do you think that, why there's a struggle there though, right? Where is that gap? You know what I'm asking?
Yeah, I think I know where you're going, Kevin. So one is, you know, when you're doing volume hiring, yeah, a lot of automated chatbots and AI chatbots that become important because you're going back to them right away. Your resumes are not going into a black box when you're applying. Or, you know, we are doing AI then, and there are a lot of applicants, how do you prioritize amongst all the applicants? And then how do you nicely say no to the other ones where you know early on that there is not a match? I also think it's a culture issue and process. So for our own company, you know, we are hiring a lot. I'm very particular to say, let's be responsive. Let's set expectations correctly on what needs to be done with the candidate. That is really important for people we are likely to say yes to and the people we are likely to say no to. Because actually, there was a wonderful statement that, you know, I was talking to the talent director of talent at Madrona. Mm-hmm. She said, when candidates are applying, they feel very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Even people who are strong otherwise, when you apply, you are feeling vulnerable. What are they going to say? Did I do a good job? You're thinking and rethinking what you said, you know, during that call. And to that vulnerability, it behooves us to go and be sensitive to that and respond and set expectations correctly and in an appropriate way.
All of those things, those are the competitive differentiators we see every year in our data, in our benchmark data. Communication and feedback loops, expectation setting, to a certain degree, transparency around the process.
Yes, yes, yes.
And all of those things impact, because here's the thing, again, I love when I hear aspirational comments like, oh, we want to have happy candidates. And I get that, because for those of in the consumer-based organizations, there could be also customers. You want them to have a good experience, but I'm only going to be happy unless I get hired. So the next step is to generate a positive sentiment, and their perception of fairness, the candidate's perception of fairness in the process, is going to be more positive when there are those things you just outlined, the expectation setting and the communication, right?
Yeah, and sometimes if it's not a good match, candidate might be happier that they're not hired.
Well, and that's true.
Right, Meet, it is all about, we are trying to find a match, being honest, being transparent to it. And the way I look at all of AI and machine learning, Kevin, is AI combined with humans. Some of these things are human things, and no AI is ever going to do it, you know, for you. And that's the wonderful part about it. You know, my PhD advisor was one of the founders of AI, you know, who had Turing or Nobel Prize. So, you know, we've been deeply throughout our career with AI, and people overpromise and then underdeliver, or we start relying on them where we shouldn't be relying on AI.
You know, another thing that I say a lot is we're in the business of no in recruiting. And unfortunately, when you're in the business of no, there's going to be a much higher aggregate number of individuals that are going to have some level of experience in your recruiting and hire process and not get hired. And that in turn can impact your business and your brand positively. As well, negatively, of course, but also positively too. And I can tell you that, you know, unfortunately, there's still millions of people that are out of work, but there's also a lot of HR and recruiting professionals that are in between jobs right now that I've heard from that have been quite shocked at some of the experiences that they've had in looking for a job. But I don't want to make it about that for the rest of this. What I did want to jump to, if it's okay, is the fact that how does Talent 360 help improve how diverse candidates are found, engaged, and treated. Now, it relates to a candidate experience, of course, but this is something that's not new. It's been top of mind for companies for many, many years. But I think there's been some fundamental changes, and hopefully you agree, that in the world this past year, where companies really are taking this more seriously than ever. Would you agree?
Yes, no, I totally agree. You know, the first thing we say is diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging, all of these things are very important, and they don't function without the other. But at the same time, we don't claim to solve the whole equation for the people. Again, it's important for us to clarify what are situations where SeekOut can actually help. So we help in the top of the funnel when you're trying to find people. So we think about a lot of steps there, several steps there. The first step is target setting, right? It means when you say, okay, I'll give you an example. You know, you'll say data scientists in the US, they're on 1.6% that are Black. And then you say at my company, you know, we have 0.4% Black. And you say, maybe, you know, there's something we can do about, or you can be aggressive beyond what the, you know, the US average is. And you say a competitor or peer company already has 1.2%. That's even further motivation to say you need to take action. And it is at this detail level, the analytics can help you set targets. The second part to us is diversity-friendly job descriptions. Now, there is a lot of talk about, you know, if you use crush it and those kinds of words, you know, they will, you know, be unattractive to, you know, let's say women. Mm-hmm. And so there is a language part. But we think another big part is if you have a list of 20 requirements, those are not going to work. Firstly, women may filter themselves out saying, I only meet 60% of them, while men will be, hallelujah, I meet 50% and I can go. So the question is, how do you drive a conversation with the hiring manager to meaningfully adjust and refine these? So our belief is that if you go with data to the hiring manager, you will have a much more productive conversation on how to make the job description diversity friendly than without it. So I have a wonderful quote that I maybe overuse it, but I like it.
I overuse mine all the time, so go ahead.
Okay, so this is by the CEO of Netscape. He made this quote. So he said, if you're coming to me with data, let's have a conversation. If it is about opinions, then let's go with mine.
Yes, I have heard even iterations of that over the years too.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a power gap between them, and our belief is we empower our recruiters with data so they can have productive conversations. They are objective conversations. Yeah. Then it comes to actually sourcing strategy, and we help you with the sourcing strategy and actually find highly qualified people so that every time you're submitting diverse slates, because we know that if you just have one diverse candidate, that is viewed as a token diverse candidate. If you have multiple diverse candidates, then it is more reasonably. We have ways to, you know, blind hiring where we can hide images and names and emails and social networks in schools. And you can choose in getting feedback to reduce unconscious bias. So it's a pretty comprehensive thing to, for the top of the funnel, how do you find highly qualified people and make sure slates are always diverse?
Yeah, that's great. It's really exciting. And again, something that is not just top of mind, but is being acted upon in many organizations. And it is about data. That's why we have the Candy Benchmark Data, while we run this research every year, because it's giving some feedback to the companies themselves about the strengths and weaknesses of their recruiting process as through the eyes of the candidates themselves experiencing it. So Anoop, tell us something top secret. I promise I won't tell anybody. I won't share it with a soul. Where are we going? Where is some of this great Series B funding going? What, is there some exciting news that you can share with us that's coming this year?
No, there's no exciting news, but I can talk about the direction.
That's exciting in and of itself. Right?
Yes. Today, we have been helping companies with talent acquisition, with hiring, with all of our data and the richness and everything else. We believe something similar is also needed for the employees that companies already have. You need to understand and learn about the employees. And we would like to bring both the external data together plus the internal data that is there in company systems, combine it together in a private, secure way to the company with the right access rights so they can better deploy their most precious resource, which is their people. They can hire the best people. There was a time when, to use another analogy, when IT technology was used as a cost center. It was always, how do we cut costs? How do we make it leaner, you know, to do it? And now suddenly people are saying, oh, it is strategic advantage. Let me see what are, you know, relevant investments I can make, because IT is going to make the differentiation between, you know, succeeding and not doing so well. I believe the same is going to happen on the side of people. Today, HR is often used as a cost center, and it is always about, you know, how do we cut and what do we do? My belief is we are heading for an age where HR is going to be a strategic priority for companies, and the right investments will make a difference between the successful companies and the companies that fail.
I agree with you. I think that we, again, something it feels like we've been talking about for a long time. But now, as you know, the latest, you know, SEC guidelines is actually for publicly traded companies are going to need to start filing HR metrics.
No, totally. November 9th of last year. I know the date.
It started already, yeah. So, I mean, you know this already too, but I think that just that yes. aligns with what you're saying, that they're going to need to get their house in order, because this is going to be super important as it relates to what the SEC is looking at. And it's going to just impact so many things. And it is going to be viewed more of the potential as of a profit center, especially when you think about the candidate experience that then evolves into the employee experience, and how the quality of hire metrics that have been kind of elusive for a long
yes.
time, and retention and so many other things. So that's exciting.
Yeah, no, totally. We are very excited about it. You know, we didn't start in the talent space as a company, but as we have gotten into it, I have just so much conviction about the importance and the impact that we can make to the world. And, you know, as a startup, you kind of start with that basis. It's right. Not just about, you know, valuations, making money. You put a lot of sweat and blood into it, and you want to make a difference. And we feel super excited and feel very fortunate to be able to play a small role.
Well, besides all the blood, sweat, and tears that you've been investing in, you and your team, and all the exciting things that you've developed to date and will continue to develop, we're always working all the time. Right. And one of the things I always like to end my podcast with is, besides work, because again, we're always working, what else do you like to do?
So one of my passions is photography.
Nice.
And so I love whenever I get a chance and we go out. We were just on Bainbridge Island. And so, you know, I have fancy camera with very long lenses and everything else. So I spend all my money on photography equipment, and we love to travel. And so, you know, along with that, photography is a pretty big passion. And there's just a lot to learn with that and how to capture the human experience with that. Another one is cooking. I love to cook, you know, Indian food and a variety of things. My most recent acquisition was a fresh pasta making machine. So I'm making homemade pasta, which is exciting. So all kinds of cooking, you know, it just gives joy to the family and to you. You know, sharing a meal together is a very important activity to us. Yeah, and I love cooking for people.
Yeah, that's awesome. Our oldest daughter, who's 12 and will be 13 later this year, she's wanting to learn how to cook. And that's when I remembered I was learning how to cook, when I was about her age. And so she made a batch of yummy cookies today, and she's starting to get in there and just learn, right? The only way to know is to do. And so she's doing it now. And it's funny, I just said this, we had a gathering yesterday with some friends, and we were talking about food. And I said, you know, it's funny, I love cooking and I love to eat, but I would not consider myself a foodie. And they looked at me and said, then you're a foodie. So there you go. And I'll tell you that's awesome. And I have actually been learning how to drum for the past year during the year of the COVIDs. I've always aspired to do it. And I actually have been taking online lessons, and I have an electronic kit, and I really loving it. It's all good stuff. So, and
it's good stuff.
I would love to see some of your photography at some point. That'd be awesome.
No, absolutely. If you guys need any pictures for the blog or something that yeah, nature scenery, sure, you know, just call me up. I'll share photographs.
We'll take you up on that. Well, thank you so much, Anup, for being on the Candy Shop Talk podcast. And at some point when we can move around more freely again, I look forward to seeing you in person. So,
hey, thank you so much, Kevin. It's just a delight to talk to you. And thank you to your audience, too, for giving us time and sharing.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Candy Shop Talk podcast. For more information about Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards and benchmark research, visit www.thetalentboard.org.